are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Welcome to another week of God Geeks. We've got some fun stuff this week. We're going to talk dreams and visions and prophecy and whether or not God talks to us through those things and how do we make sense of it if he does. And we're going to talk about Game of Thrones and This Week in Geek and dreams and prophecy and more of the same. It's also May the 4th. We're recording right now. It's May the 4th, so it's Star Wars Day. So that's kind of cool. Bill, how are you doing?
Man, I'm doing wonderful. I'm glad everybody's here. Glad everybody's listening. We're getting new listeners every week.
Yeah.
And what's cool is now on the website, so godgeeks.com, you're going to be able to log on there and send us a little contact. Like send us a message. You know, if you got a question or a comment about the show.
A complaint.
Yeah, we're not going to listen to those. Yeah, we don't really care about those. But if you have something you want us to answer, you know, or talk about, and we can even do it anonymously. Like you can say, hey, I don't want anybody to know that I have this question, but can you answer this question or talk about this subject? And if it's something that we feel like is intriguing and it's a good question, you know, we'll definitely, we'd love to tackle it. And it could be God stuff or it could be geek stuff.
Either.
Yeah.
Or so, a little of both.
So, man, another weekly episode underway, another Friday, another drive to work, another drive home and listening and taking in the podcast.
Yeehaw.
We love you guys. And so let's kick it right into Jedi Mind Tricks.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, it's time for another Jedi Mind Tricks, the part of the show where we talk about theology and God and try to wrap our heads around things that you can't really wrap your heads around sometimes. And this week I've got, I think, a bit of a doozy. I'm surprising you a little bit with it, Bill. So like I said a couple weeks ago, we've been reading 1984 in my English class, and that is a hard book to wrap your head around because there's dream sequences. And we did this whole question and answer thing on dreams, and it came out that the kids kind of believed that God uses dreams to talk to them, like, now, and that they have to somehow figure out how to interpret their dreams, and they're worried about how to do that, and you know, what their dreams mean, et cetera, et cetera. And it got us on a really good conversation about, you know, how does God speak to us, and I think we headed in the right direction, but I'd love to hear what you think about God using dreams and prophecy and special revelation, I think is the term for it, you know, today to Christians. Does that happen? If so, how? Or is that a problematic concept? I mean, what are your thoughts?
Okay, so it's a great question, a fascinating subject. I want to be careful in answering it.
You're gonna play a Jedi mind trick on us?
It is a very tricky thing to handle, because I think you could come down hard and say no.
Right. I've heard that.
Which that would be my instincts to say at the start. Here's what I'll say: the answer is no, but yes.
Okay.
So hear the fullness of my answer before you judge me one way or the other, because the theologians out there are getting really nervous.
They're emailing us already.
And the people who think they are interpreting their dreams are getting really excited.
Yeah.
But you're both going to be disappointed because it's a pretty actual simple but awesome answer in a lot of different ways. And better theologians than me, better pastors than me have written extensively about this. But here's what I'd say to make it simple for us geeks. What are we waiting for as Christians?
Okay, in general?
Yeah, what are we waiting for?
Christ's return, I guess.
Christ's return, right? And here's what's beautiful about that reality. We are in the last days, okay? We are in what's referred to as the eschaton.
Eschaton.
Now, yeah, when you hear the word eschatology, it's talking about
the end
times. Yeah. So eschaton is the end times, the last days. We are actually in the last days. Okay. The day that Easter Sunday morning when the stone was rolled away.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That was the beginning of the end. And we are in the end times. All right. There is no new information that we need.
It's all where?
The only thing we're waiting for is Christ to tear open the sky and return and make all things new and raise the dead. Okay? And that's it. So we need no new information. Everything that has been revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures is how God speaks to us, okay? Now, let me temper that with,
okay,
if someone has a dream and they say to you, I think God is telling me something in my dream, or God or an angel is telling me something in my dreams, my first question is, what are they saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you said to me, I had this dream, and the Lord came to me, and he said that it's by grace that I've been saved through faith, and it's not my own doing. It's a gift of God, you know?
Well, maybe he did then.
I think God was talking to you in your dreams, because that's in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. So what I'm saying is, the Word of God can speak to you in a dream.
Sure.
But how do you know it's the Word of God?
Compared to
the Word of God. Right.
Okay.
He's never going to say something that's against what he's already said. Right?
Right.
So how do you test the spirits? You compare them with the scriptures. Right?
Yeah.
So we're told to test the spirits.
Right.
Right? And here's the deal. This is a huge principle for people to understand. And really rest in and send them into the scriptures to search for the answers in the scriptures, because this is what Paul says about it in Galatians. He says, if anyone comes to you that's preaching a different gospel, even an angel in heaven comes to you preaching a different gospel, let them burn in hell forever. Let them be anathema. And he says, and let me say it again, even if an angel comes to you proclaiming a different gospel, let them burn in hell forever.
So if my dream is proclaiming a different gospel, it's anathema.
Just,
it's your mind messing with you.
Yeah, it's just not
something else.
It's not from God.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a dumb dream, right?
Yeah, I have a lot of those.
So what I don't want to say is that God can't speak to people in dreams, because that's obviously not true.
He does
that in the scriptures.
Yeah.
However, we are in the eschaton, see?
Yeah.
So we don't need any new information. You have everything revealed to you that God desires to be revealed to you in the Holy Scriptures.
So if you're looking for answers, the answer is not to find some book that's going to tell you how to interpret your dreams. The answer is to go to Scripture.
Right. Well, and how do you know if something or someone, anyone, any human in your life, or any angel or person in your dreams, or a guy on the television or anything else, how do you know if he is preaching something that's contrary to God's word?
You compare it to God's word.
You have to know God's word.
Yeah.
Right.
Dig in,
so the Christian is not called to sit idle once he hears the gospel. Right. Once he hears the good news and he's caused to have faith and he's converted and he's baptized and then his teaching is over. No, he's continually a disciple of God's word. Right?
Right.
And so it's the importance of surrounding yourself with a learned teacher or Jedi pastor.
Master, yeah.
Yeah, Jedi master. like my friend James here. And
I'm a Padawan, whatever.
Being in the, who is in the Word himself,
yeah.
Right? And you being in the Word himself so that you can test what he's saying to you. Because I don't care. Let me just make sure that our listeners understand. Don't listen to anything that we say or that anyone else says that's contrary to God's word. Mm-mm. God's word, hey, it says in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. God's word is not a created thing. God's word
is
God's word. Yeah. God's word became flesh. So God's word is God, right? Yeah. So don't look anywhere else for answers or questions or dreams or revelation. And so it's a lot of comfort that we have. We have a huge advantage on a lot of people who came before us, mm-hmm. in that we live in the final days, right? I mean, the way that we're called to live is, hey, the Lord Jesus may return at any minute, perhaps even tonight, but maybe even before this podcast reaches your ears. He may come and make all things new. And the last words of the scriptures are, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly, right? And we're called in the Lord's Prayer to pray, mm-hmm. thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We're saying, bring your kingdom to him. We want him to come and make all things new. We don't need new revelation. We need new life. We need new creation. We need Christ's return.
That's so much more comforting than kind of some of the fear out there of, oh, he's going to return. We got to do some stuff to usher it or to prepare.
Yeah,
or,
that it's the just, most absurd thing
very
ever.
Very absurd.
Yeah,
because we're supposed to pray, come, Lord Jesus.
Let's. Yeah, right. Well, I mean, we can't do anything without God.
No.
So here's a principle that maybe you can chew on, we can all chew on, our listeners can chew on. The first mistake that we make is thinking that we don't need God for everything,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That we don't rely fully on him to wake up in the morning, to be able to breathe, to be able to maintain life, to have gifts and talents, to have family, to have food, to have shelter, to have water, to have faith, to have salvation, to have everything. We are fully reliant upon God. So we can't bring about God's plan apart from him doing it himself, right?
Right.
So our first mistake is, We don't need God for everything. Garbage. You need him for everything. The second mistake we make is thinking that he needs us for anything. Okay?
So that changes kind of the view on even what Sunday morning is. Am I going to church on Sunday morning to give something to God that
right.
he needs from me? Or
right.
am I going to Sunday morning being fed by gospel,
right.
sacrament, word?
Yeah, it's a great question to ask someone who seems very burdened in their conscience by any kind of work or any kind of task or any kind of thing
yeah.
that they believe they're doing for God. The question is, what does God need from you?
He doesn't need anything from me. I need everything from
well,
him.
Well, yeah, it's a more yeah, right, and it's a more basic question than even that. It's what does God need?
Nothing.
He needs nothing.
Yeah.
He's God.
Yeah.
It's
he's not fueled by us.
There's nothing missing in him that he has to have somehow fulfilled by a creature, right?
Right, right.
He's the creator, and we're creatures, and we very quickly forget that. You know, we make ourselves the creator very often, and that's that whole original sin thing, right? That's
mm-hmm.
that's the whole deal of you don't need God. He didn't really say that, you know.
Here, have some knowledge.
Yeah, yeah. You'll know more than him. He just doesn't want you to be as smart as him, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
We're still paying for it, and we're still thinking it, especially when we think some absurd, action on our part or some sort of special equation, or if we, you know, if Israel does this or the Middle East happens this, you know, or if this guy's elected president, that's going to bring about the end of the world.
We got into politics. Uh-oh.
No, it's absolute
it's
garbage.
So
it's just, it's absurd.
How comforting with everything going
right,
on right now.
It's absurd. And here's the thing. None of this whole ridiculous, end time scenario where, you know, they've got 1,000 years, this is going to happen. And this all, you know, they get this absurd timeline, which is based on a bunch of terrible exegesis.
Yeah.
You know, is what leads people to all this apocalyptic sort of scenarios, like that some world event is going to start, and that's when Jesus is going to come back. Listen, he can come back like a thief in the night at any time. Nothing has to happen. We're already in the end times. We're in the last days. We await his return, and the way that we're called to live is looking for him any moment, right? And that's what's so beautiful about not just the gospel that your sins are forgiven, but that his kingdom is already here and it's on its way. He's already here dwelling in his people, renewing them, forgiving them of their sins, making them a new creation, right? He's still healing. He's still raising the dead, because we're all dead in our trespasses and sin, and he's raised us to life in Jesus Christ. And he's returning any minute to make all things new.
Amen.
That beauty of the fullness of the gospel is rarely preached in any sort of Christian circle. I mean, we Lutherans do a really good job of hammering home the forgiveness of sins part, but we really forget about the eschaton part.
Right.
We forget about the second coming part.
Right.
Because I think the reason is, and rightly so, so much of our doctrine and theology is based on the Reformation, and the second coming wasn't a real issue in the Reformation. It was justification by faith,
right?
You know, but justification by grace through faith in Christ alone. That's what they were fighting about,
right?
And so we do a really good job of defending that because it's in our confessional documents.
It's in our DNA.
But we can't forget that you know, just because those things are documented doesn't mean that all we preach is the forgiveness of sins, right? Because it's not it's not the fullness of the beauty of the gospel, right?
Yeah.
Or the law, really.
Well, and the other day, it was kind of like an aha moment for me. I knew it, but I just didn't think about it enough. Things don't end when I die and go to heaven. That's not the end.
No.
No, there's new heaven, new earth, new body.
Right.
Restoration of all things. That's the fullness of the gospel.
No, and things didn't... Your new life doesn't begin when you die and get resurrected either. Your new life has already begun.
It's already begun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are always going to be a human.
Right.
A human creature.
And I love that.
And our purpose in the very beginning, I mean, you have to bring it back to creation in order to understand and get a glimpse of recreation or renew, you know, the restoration, because we're intended to be fully human.
Yeah, soul, you know, and body.
We are otherwise
not ripped apart.
Otherwise, Christ would not have been incarnate as a human to redeem humans and wouldn't have raised from the dead, right? As
right.
a human, he
right.
is the God man now. He's
right.
still incarnate, actually,
right.
In the realm of heaven, and he will return as the God man, as a human, right? He's still the Son of God, and we will be fully human in the new earth. And that's the message of Christianity, not that we need to escape this realm and go to heaven.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's not that heaven's a bad place, but we talk about this sometimes at Soul Thirst, which is, this is kind of a funny way to think about it, and it probably leads into a whole nother discussion that we can't get into, but heaven is not the big game.
No.
Heaven is the tailgate party before the big game. The souls that are in heaven are awaiting their resurrection on earth, where we all feast with the King in the new kingdom, right? So we're intended to be human. We will be human. And we need no new revelation, because we have all that we need in God's word. So that's our Jedi mind tricks.
Yeah, it was fun.
For this week. It is fun. And we're going to move right into This Week in Geek.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
the segment you geeks have all been waiting for, This Week in Geek. And man, oh man, oh man.
It's a geeky week.
It's a geeky week.
I mean, today is May 4th.
Yeah, May the 4th be with you is when we're recording this podcast.
Yep, yep.
So this Friday when this comes out, this is the week of... So it's Star Wars Day, but pretty soon here, it'll be Star Wars Week,
yeah,
don't you think?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
We could go all week
Revenge
long.
Of the Sixth, you know?
Yeah, yeah, right. There you go. But it is a geeky week, and not simply because it's Star Wars Day or Star Wars Week, May the 4th,
right.
But because huge happenings in the world of Game of Thrones,
yeah.
Which we talked about
last
week.
Turns out we're geniuses.
Yeah, we are. Well, see, here's the thing. We just got through in the last segment talking about how there's no new prophecy, but this last week, I'm going to say, we called it, we prophesied that Jon Snow would be raised from the dead by the Red Lady, and that's what happened because, well... And I'm sure we're the only ones
that said that.
There wasn't anybody else that had that theory or prediction in the world. You heard it here first.
Right.
Obviously, that's not true. And we get most of our theories from the internet.
I guess we
get our theology from the Bible, but our, theories
from the internet.
So, seriously, something really cool has developed. And it's going around, and you can talk more about the sort of equation and the theory,
yeah.
And hopefully we'll get all the names right. And since you're the book geek, maybe you'll know more. But there's a scene in the preview for this Sunday night's Game of Thrones episode,
right?
Which is which hints at a flashback to Ned Stark when he was a young man and a knight fighting.
Yep. Kind of the start of all of this Game of Thrones, this current war.
Right. So talk some about that if you can, and I'll maybe try to help fill in the...
Yeah, so...
It's called the Tower of Joy.
The Tower of Joy. So when you first start reading Game of Thrones or watching it, Ned Stark's buddy is on the throne, and he's not a Targaryen. And the Targaryens were the kings and queens, if you will, of the Seven Kingdoms. Well, how did he get on the throne?
Targaryens, and Daenerys is the Dragon Queen.
Daenerys is the Dragon Queen.
So her family was royalty.
That's
so,
why she's the rightful heir, and yada, yada.
So continue.
So the whole war basically started because Ned's sister...
Lyanna, something like that.
Led to believe she was kidnapped by Rhaegar, one of the Targaryens.
Rhaegar Targaryen.
One of the Targaryen princes.
Who would have been in this Tower of Joy.
Yeah.
Or that would have been his territory.
Yeah, so, you know, it plays out where we first learn that he kidnapped her and Ned goes to find her and it starts a war and basically a
revolution. So the princess in the tower is being rescued by the knight.
By her
Very
brother.
Very original.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Happens to be a sister, though, so.
Yeah. The theory goes that maybe... the sister wanted to be there and ran off with Rhaegar because a lot of the descriptions of Rhaegar, he's a great guy.
Perhaps she wasn't kidnapped.
Perhaps she wasn't kidnapped. Perhaps.
But she couldn't say that she was there willingly because...
Oh, I can't remember. I think she was promised to someone else.
She's promised
to
what's his name, right? The king. The king at the time.
Yeah.
Who is... Wow, what's his name's...
I'm blanking.
Brother. The brother that's the king that Ned Stark is loyal to at the beginning of the show.
Right.
It's his brother that was the king before him.
Right, I think so.
And that was his queen.
And this is more confusing than British royalty.
Sorry. I just confused it anymore. So anyway, go ahead.
So the theory is that there was a love child
and
of
what's
Rhaegar.
The equation they call it?
R plus L equals J.
Okay.
So Rhaegar plus Lyanna equals Jon Snow.
Right.
So Ned comes back.
So maybe Jon Snow is not
Ned's
Ned Stark's illegitimate son.
But instead his nephew.
And so the story goes that Ned Stark takes the tower with his knights, but his sister, Lyanna, is killed in the process and is dying when he finds her. Mm-hmm. And the theory is that she made him promise to take John as his own and mm-hmm. not tell anyone mm-hmm. because they would try to kill him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because he would be the rightful heir.
An
heir.
He'd be an heir to the Targaryen name and he would be a target.
Yeah.
But if Ned just called him his illegitimate son, nobody would care.
Yeah. And we've seen what
happened. Except,
of course,
Ned's wife, which that's a problem.
Yeah.
But he's such a noble.
Yeah, and that's always been the question.
Is
how could this noble character,
Ned,
cheat on his wife? That is not Ned.
I mean,
he will die for what's right.
Yeah, yeah.
So
the king is Robert at the time that Ned...
Robert, that's his name. Yeah.
He's
Robert Baratheon.
Robert Baratheon. And they even have a conversation about it. And it's Ned just kind of, brushes it off. She's mad about that, but what are you going to do? Us men, we're just... But that's out of his character to be unfaithful.
George R. R. Martin is very keen on creating characters that they conflict sometimes, things like that, but they also don't... They're not illogical.
Right. So the theory itself has legs in the way that it's been presented, and the show could go that direction.
The show could definitely go that direction. And one of the things about with Melisandre, with her magic, it always requires... Royal blood, royal something.
Right, you mentioned that last week.
And what was she sopping up off of him? A whole bunch of blood.
Right.
Maybe she didn't realize she already had the blood there.
Right, right.
He's full royal.
And she's already said that she's seen him sort of in a prophetic vision in the fire, fighting for the seven, seven kingdoms or the wind, whatever. So this would
make Jon Snow and Daenerys.
Brother and sister.
Half brother, half sister.
Half brother, half sister. Oh. And both.
Or cousins. Or him, her nephew. Which one would it be?
So that is confusing. She would have been a way younger sister than this Rhaegar.
So it would be his aunt.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, Daenerys would be his aunt.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they could actually war over that if they were found out. But who knows if even a real legitimate deal. Now, there's a little bit of a twist on the theory.
Okay.
Which is, now tell me the equation again.
R plus L equals J.
Okay, so it's R plus L equals J.
Rhaegar plus Lyanna J equals J.
J-M. Perhaps were they twins.
Oh.
And what's her name? Is it Mira?
Yeah, Mira.
Mira
Reed.
Who is with Brennan Stark.
Yeah, up at that.
Yeah, out in the tree.
The tree on north of the wall with the weird elf people.
The theory is that they would have taken the twins and put them in different places.
Oh boy, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, that's a Star Wars kind of time. They take the twins and put them in different places so that nobody knows what the truth is.
Okay. She looks,
so that's the thing. That's why the internet's on fire with this sort of secondary theory.
All
right. Which ties into why is she with him? Why is she with the Stark? Why is she important?
This ancillary character showed up.
But maybe there's some legs to that. But anyway, that's fun stuff.
That's really geeky.
Yeah, and that's This Week in Geek. And hey, man, I want to thank everybody who's listening to the show, who's logging onto the website, God Geeks. Now, what you're going to be able to do, like we said before at the beginning of the show, you're going to be able to log on to godgeeks.com and you're going to be able to contact us.
Yeah, there'll be a contact us box on there.
Yeah, so don't hesitate to send us a message. Just don't call us mean names or anything like that. James gets enough of that.
Yeah,
but anyway, hey, we had a good time this week and we'll see you next week on God Geeks.